Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Zero Emissions Corsa E with a range of up to 337 kilometres, it's simply electric.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
So as we were saying, outside of Dublin, the government has expressed concern about rising levels in the coronavirus figures in Wicklow, Louth, Waterford, Limerick, Kildare, Leitrim, Donegal and in Offaly. On Sunday, the acting CMO, Dr. Ronan Glynn, singled out Louth, Donegal and Waterford because of rising cases per 100,000 in those counties. I'm joined by three GPs now. Dr. Amy Morgan is in Drogheda in County Louth. Dr. Dennis McCauley is in Stranraer in Donegal and is chairperson of the GP subcommittee of the IMO, the Irish Medical Organisation, and also Dr. Niall McNamara from the Keogh practice in Waterford. I want to go to Donegal first, and Dr. McCauley, you're very welcome. Good morning to you.
Thank you, Claire.
I see you're in the paper today talking about the delay in the flu vaccine.
I see that also, yeah. It's a bit of a surprise.
You're clearly worried about it though.
I think it is on helpful that we don't have the flu vaccine at the even at the normal time. Preferably we would have liked to have it early. I think it is having a good flu campaign is important because the last time that COVID surged, we had as it were a clear run at it. There was no other respiratory illnesses in circulation. Now, coming into the winter season, we want to eliminate as many preventable viruses as is possible because there's only a finite amount of service in the hospital, so we don't want those services used up by other things. So having a flu vaccine at the time that it normally is would have been more ideal than the delay that there presently is.
But we're hearing that this is a manufacturing problem. It's not particular to Ireland. Is that what you're also hearing?
I've been hearing many stories. There's just a fact, and the fact is disappointing.
Okay. Have you had any of the vaccines arrive at your practice?
Nothing yet. No. There are two dates being proposed, and really, the important thing is that when you want to give a flu vaccine, you want to make sure that when you tell your practice population that the flu vaccine is there, you want to have enough. So it doesn't matter if we get a small amount first, because that is not that helpful, because we really need a date that we are confident that we'll have enough flu vaccines to run a flu vaccine clinic. Most years in our practice, and most of the practices in Donegal, most patients would get their flu vaccine through having a flu vaccine clinic. Now, if you run a clinic and you run out of vaccines halfway through, that's not very reasonable. So we just need a magic day to get the magic number that we can run a flu vaccine clinic. And as yet, we haven't got the first delivery, which will be a suboptimal group. So we have to wait to see if that comes. And if that comes on the date that they said it's going to come, then hopefully it means that the date that the two-thirds of the vaccines that we are promised will come on time, because we can't advertise a vaccine till we're very confident that we have it, because it will be a big undertaking this year. We hope to vaccinate most of the over 65s and the at-risk group. And we are time-constrained slightly because the children's flu vaccine, which is a live vaccine, is due to come in the last 2 weeks in October. So we were hoping not to have an overlapping. We were hoping to have the adult vaccine done, have a rest, and then proceed with the children's vaccine.
But you might just have to do it all together. Can I just ask you what the situation is with COVID now in your practice? What are you seeing in the last number of weeks and days?
I think it has been very, very trying for our doctors and our receptions and our nursings and our nurses. There's been basically today, yesterday, even the last few days of last week, it has been essentially COVID work. And I have to sort of apologise to the patients who are looking for non-COVID service. We haven't been able to really give that for the last 3 days of last week, and now for this week, we're really asking people, if it is not urgent and if it's not COVID related, to perhaps ring back next week, because we're busy assessing people. People are ringing. They are worried. They have symptoms. We have to assess them and define who we feel needs a test and who actually doesn't.
Okay.
And then we have to define who is sick enough that we think, well, no, actually, we would need to assess you, or indeed we may have to send you to the hospital.
Okay, well, stay with us, Dr. McCauley, because I want to go now to Dr. Amy Morgan in Drogheda in County Louth. Are you seeing an increase in cases there, Dr. Morgan?
Good morning. We definitely are, just to echo just your other speaker there, certainly in the last couple of weeks and in tandem, I think, with the return to school, we certainly had to field an awful lot of calls, which obviously have to filter through our reception staff and then have to filter down through to us and be put up for an appointment in relation to, you know, just general queries. Like I said, then we obviously have to take the time to make a decision about who actually qualifies for testing, who needs general advice. So, you know, even if a person didn't qualify for a test, it's still time. You know, we still have to advise them about what they need to do, whether that's, you know, stay at home, observe their movements, etc., and whether they need to follow up with us. And then obviously, if someone is actually unwell and we suspect that there's maybe something else going on, to arrange, obviously, for them to be physically assessed. So, it has certainly been very different versus this time last year, where we would be coming off the back of the summer period, you know, generally regrouping, getting ready for our flu vaccination. And obviously now we have this additional challenge of fielding calls. But I should say, I suppose we don't want to discourage people from ringing us either. You know, if someone does have a query and they think it is, you know, COVID related or they're worried about symptoms, you know, we would encourage them to ring us up because, you know, the call is free and the test is free if you need it.
And do you have some people who have been alerted either through the app or through word of mouth that they may have been a contact of a positive case, but yet they haven't been contacted by public health?
Yeah, we're encountering that. And we have had, I suppose, calls from parents, I think in particular, like I said, with kids going back to school, who they have heard through word of mouth that's been a positive or a detected case in the school. And they're worried, you know, they are not sure about what to do, whether their child is then at risk, whether they should be staying at home. And I suppose our difficulty is that, you know, we are meant to be referring people who have symptoms. I mean, that our algorithm is quite clear on that. And, you know, we don't have the remit to take on the responsibility of doing contact tracing in addition with our own general work. So I suppose that's something coming into the winter that we would definitely really need to see, that public health is being resourced efficiently to be able to sustain adequate contact tracing. Because, you know, the test is good, but we also need... We do need cases detected and sourced.
And you can't be dealing with that, basically, because you've got lots of other things to do.
Just like
Dr. Niall McNamara, who is based in Waterford. Dr. McNamara, you had, of last Monday alone, 120 COVID-related calls.
Yeah, we've been very busy over the last couple of weeks, but it was particularly noticeable last Monday. And we track it most days to see what the level of COVID-related call activity is, and we had a very significant spike last Monday. Now, it started to peter out a little bit as the week went on, and very early signs from yesterday, we were down about 60% of that. We had about 70 calls that were COVID-related. So I'm hopeful that we're beginning to see a slight decrease, and that hopefully will be reflected. It's obviously going to take some time because we obviously send people for testing, and then for them to actually go through, get tests, get results, there's obviously going to be a lag period. But I'm hoping that the message has got through to redouble their efforts in relation to the social distancing, the hand washing, and the face coverings, and in terms of social behaviour. And I think partly what's happened in Dublin has hopefully brought it into sharper focus to people that, look, things can get worse, and hopefully we're seeing some improvement, albeit very early stage.
So your hope then is that people are getting the message in the last couple of days, because you see that difference between Monday of last week and this Monday?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's only going on a couple of days, but it certainly looks like there's been a drop-off, both in terms of the number of calls that we would have had through to our surgery, and also the number of people that we would have referred onwards for testing. So I'm hopeful that will translate later in the week or early next week into a reduction in the number of cases that we're going to see. But look, I suppose only time will tell.
Do you share the concerns about the flu vaccine, the late arrival, and so many more people looking for that this year, that you'll just have a deluge, everyone coming together?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I'd share all those concerns and reiterate everything Dennis McCauley said. The difficulty, and I do appreciate from HSE perspective, we're dealing with a limited global manufacturing capacity for the vaccine, and everyone is the world over is trying to get their hands on it. So I can understand it's deeply frustrating at a practitioner level not to have it when we would like to have it, and to administer it when we can and when we have capacity now to do it. But I do appreciate that there are constraints there that are probably even beyond those that the HSE can effectively change.
And Dr. McCauley, just to come back to you in Donegal, we know that a member of the Donegal senior football squad tested positive, and that had implications for the rest of the team and so on. Now, clearly we wish the player well, but do you think that a case like that, a high profile case in a young person involved in sport, might actually help in terms of delivering the message about social distancing to the younger generation?
I think so. I think we have to realise, have a certain amount of empathy for the young people, but their health belief model is that I'm fine, it's okay. Sure, if I get it, it's okay. But we have to try and change that through simple things, sort of visual cues such as that. And I think regardless of the different levels and the different sort of the different rules, I think it is important that we use simple messaging to people that a younger person, okay, they may get COVID, they may not have a very serious infection, but it can affect their teammates on their team. It actually can affect their workmates. It'll affect their job. It then, more importantly, can affect people who are older in their household, that it could actually kill them. So I think simple messaging is actually quite a good thing. I think that Dr. Rolandgren and Professor Nolan in the last 2 weeks with the two images of assume everybody that you go out now has COVID and take precautions accordingly, and then Professor Nolan with his image of half the amount of contacts in the next 2 weeks that you had the previous 2 weeks. All this imagery is important. So yes, a long answer to your very short question. Yes, okay. I think it is a useful thing.
Dr. Amy Morgan, we heard on the programme previously that a lot of people are presenting with anxiety and extreme worry about COVID-19. Is that borne out in what you're seeing at your practice?
Yeah, we are seeing that, and actually, interestingly, we're seeing it actually across younger age groups in particular. I think that point that was made about, you know, the younger members of our society, you know, whilst they may feel that, you know, physically they're not at risk for this virus, and, you know, mentally, I think that there are risks associated with it as well, in terms of, you know, their socialising has been reduced, they may have lost their jobs, you know, they may have uncertainty about their future. So definitely we've been having a lot more people present to us just generally with concerns about the future, about how they feel, increasing levels of anxiety. And obviously, you know, it's been a challenge to manage that, because, you know, certainly our access to secondary care referral pathways and counselling, you know, has had restrictions placed upon it. So I suppose the message we would be trying to get out to people is that, you know, it's really important that while physical distancing is very important, you know, you should still maintain your social connections and still maintain, you know, someone that you can talk to and be open with. And like I said, you know, don't be afraid to contact your GP. We are there and we are open, and we obviously are there to listen if you are having any difficulties.
And Dr. McNamara, would you echo that? I mean, obviously there are consequences of COVID. You know, all of the messaging around it will have consequences for some people who may be very concerned, very worried, feeling very isolated. Are you hearing from those people?
Yeah, the broader health effect of the COVID restrictions are being felt every day, and we see it in terms of the mental health of our patients, things around people with addiction problems and relapses, and the stress that this is placing on people. And I think this is really the balance, is to try and find a way that we can live with this virus that keeps us all safe from the worst of COVID, but allows us to interact to some degree safely, so that we can maintain some degree of social contact, that we avoid the real ravages of social isolation for people. and to try and maintain their and keep an eye on their mental health, which is obviously a huge concern for us in general practice.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you, all three, Dr. Niall McNamara, Dr. Amy Morgan and Dr. Dennis McCauley. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.